In October of 1982, I saw Bernadette Peters with Rich Little at the Valley Forge Music Fair in Devon, Pennsylvania. It was a thrill seeing her after seeing her on screen in Pennies from Heaven. Throughout her illustrious career, Tony Award-winning actress Bernadette Peters has dazzled audiences and critics with her performances on stage and television, in concert, and on recordings. She currently stars in the hit series for Amazon Prime, Mozart in the Jungle. Prior to that, she starred on Broadway in the Stephen Sondheim, James Goldman critically acclaimed production of Follies. And now, on Sunday at 2:30, she'll be on stage in the Shed here at Tanglewood to perform with the Boston Pops, conducted by Keith Lockhart, who we will hear from later on in the program. It is a great pleasure to welcome Bernadette Peters back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure, Joe. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be coming back to Tanglewood. And I love singing with the Boston Pops. And I love Keith Lockhart's conducting. So there you have it.
What is it that you enjoy about it? I was thinking while I was putting my notes together today of what it must be like to sing and to have that orchestra behind you.
It's pretty amazing. You know, I have some beautiful orchestrations. And to hear all those musicians play as one, and be with you in the moment, as you breathe, as you think, as you are singing about something, an emotion, and they're right with you, it's stunning. It's actually stunning. It's lovely.
Is there a Boston Pops sound that is different when you are performing in front of another orchestra?
It's called good. They're good. They're very good.
Simple as that. They're very good. And does that put you as at ease as an artist?
It makes me excited, actually, you know, to know that Keith has them in the palm of his hand, that he's listening to me breathe, that he's with me, that we're both up there to make, you know, what's happening is the whole orchestra, Keith and myself, we're all up there to make something happen. And the audience is in the room with us to go through something. And we're all going through it together, so I love it.
When does the conversation start to take place of, oh, well, we should do this, we should perform this, how about if we do that?
It does, and then we go, but our time frame is, you know, we're always at the time frame. I go, okay, we got the time frame to worry about, so.
When in this process do you start worrying about what you're actually going to sing with the orchestra?
Well, you know, I sang with them at Symphony Hall in Boston, and he mentioned another song, but then we decided it would make it a lot simpler just to do basically the same rundown, because the orchestra has so much music they have to learn. And it's nice to have them. It's nice when you are more familiar with something rather than have to worry about a new piece.
Sure. What say do you have in working with him for the original rundown of saying, oh, it would be lovely if we did these songs?
I have everything to say because it's me up there singing. I have nothing to say about what he's going to play first.
Right.
And that's always a lovely, lovely surprise to hear what he does. But as far as what I do, you know, I choose what I'm going to sing. I know the shape of the show. I know the shape of the rundown. I know what will, you know, and I know what will give a full, satisfying afternoon in my section with a certain amount of time. And so I'll be singing for 45 minutes. But you know, what's effective and what can work. And so he just lets me choose.
And for you in that 45 minutes or so, is there an arc you have in your mind, the beginning, the middle, and the end of what works for an audience and ultimately what works for you?
Definitely, definitely. Both those things. I mean, we have a hello, we have make sure you leave them with something that happened, satisfied, and so there's a definite arc, definitely.
How many performances like this do you do typically in a year?
I do quite a bit because at least, I would say, maybe 18 or something like that.
So quite a few.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you have shows where you go out and it's just you, right? Where it's an evening with Bernadette Peters.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume that's different.
Longer, yeah. It's different.
And I guess I'm trying to ultimately figure out, so how do you balance what you're going to do in a year in the sense of I want to do, is there a formula such as I'd like to do this many things on the road? I'd love a show where I'm going to be at a place for a while.
No, actually, I like to be home, so I like to go out and come back and go out and come back. I don't really like to be on the road or stay in a place because I really do have my animals at home, and like they're at my feet right now, and I do like to be home, so I usually go out and come back and go out and come back. You know, and then I have the Mozart in the Jungle show, so then
right.
I didn't take any concerts that would take me way across the country because I'm doing it in New York because that would be a very hard weekend with the time changes. So I eliminated those. So I have a full year.
That is such a fun show. How did it come about that you became a part of it?
I was very fortunate. You know, I met with the director and Paul Weiss. Producer, director, it was one of them, and very talented. And then it was Jason Schwartzman. You know, it was all very appealing to me when you have the name Jason Schwartzman, Paul Weiss, and Roman Coppola. He's, you know, a Coppola, a son.
Right.
So you have all those great names, and you know something interesting is going to happen, and then. Malcolm McDowell was in it, and Gael Garcia Bernal was in it, and so we do the pilot, and then we get sold, and you start doing it, and Gael is like this amazing free spirit, and Malcolm is also, and then the scripts come in, and the scripts are so interesting, and nothing written, thrown in there arbitrarily. It's just funny and unusual and unique, and sort of what I was sort of looking for at that moment and at this time. So it was nice.
And that is obviously, and what you're looking for, I assume, is good material and some stability, right?
The material and some stability?
Yeah.
That sounds like a husband.
The stability meaning that you can stay in New York, you have a schedule, you know when the show is going to start filming, you know when it's going to end filming.
Yeah, that's nice. I do like consistency, which is true. And we do start the end of July, and then we go to the end of October. And because I don't know what the scripts are, but I know they'll be good, and I know, you know, it's going to be fun to just explore what's ever going to happen. You know, I enjoy it. I enjoy the acting.
Is that something that you always wanted to balance, that it would be music and acting?
I think so. I've always been interested in the words. Even in my music, you know, I always choose the lyrics. The lyrics are really important to me. If you're saying something, that's why I say I don't care if I'm on stage or in film or on television, it's the words. Or singing, it's, you know, I choose songs about things that I like to hear about. You know, No One Is Alone is a great something to remind myself about. And then interesting writers, you know, Rodgers and Hammerstein and Steve Sondheim.
And when you're doing a show like this, it also allows you to be comedic, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
After this, what is next? You'll be working on the show.
So I see you guys on the 5th. July,
yes.
In the afternoon, and after you've all had a wonderful 4th of July, it's a weekend, and then I come back, and then actually what happens right after this is my new children's book is coming out, and I have my Broadway Barks adoption event, July 11th.
Which is a huge event.
It's a huge event. It's so wonderful. It's 17 years. That I started with my friend Mary Tyler Moore, and I have 27 shelters, and we're all in Schubert Alley, and all the celebrities come out between shows, and they meet their animal, and they bring them up on stage and get them adopted. And people now wait for Broadway Barks to come and adopt their dog or their cat.
Now, how many animals ultimately will probably go up for adoption at this event?
Well, we have 27 shelters, and they, you know, up on stage, there's time for four, but they can bring six. They can bring as many as they want. So we get a lot of animals because you come at 3 o'clock and look at the animals up close and meet them, and then the celebrities bring them up on stage at 5 o'clock, and some of them already adopted because people have met them and they've fallen in love, or they see them on stage and they adopt them after, or they go to the shelter after, or they make up applications. Mostly there's applications, and then you follow through because everyone has to make sure that they're good parents, that they can have a dog, first of all, that their landlord allows them to have a dog, and so you might have to show that paper. So you make an application out on a dog that you have fallen in love with.
Or
a cat.
What does your menagerie look like these days?
I have two. I always seem to have one for each hand. They're both lying on the floor right now. She's in a frog position. She's a pit bull but she's very, you know, pit bulls are made from bulldogs and terriers.
Yes.
So some of them could be taller, some of them could be squattier, so she's very bulldog. So she's lying there in her frog position. She's got, you know, a really bulldoggy little personality. She's stubborn. She has on a pink collar. She's gray with a white nose, you know, but not a white nose, but her muzzle
speckled
white, and then she's got freckles. How did you know? She's got freckles. She's like Doris Day. She's got freckles.
Sounds like a beautiful dog. And for your other hand, you have a what?
We think he might be a wire hair pointer, labradoodle, really smart guy, really sweet, smart. I really lucked out with both of them.
So you're
both quite smart.
Yeah, you have bigger dogs now. I know you used to have smaller dogs. You have bigger dogs
well,
now.
Well, in my 20s, I had a little poodle.
Yeah.
But then I had regular-sized dogs is what I call them. Bit larger dogs.
They're better to, like, cuddle and hug.
Yeah, the other day I took a nap, and I was in an S position, and I was holding her near my chest, and he was in the crook of my legs, and I had all this dog energy around me. It was great.
Nothing better than dog energy.
Nothing better than our companion. That's what they're here for. That's the only thing they're here for. It's for us.
It's Broadway Barks, and it's on July 11th, and people can find out more information. Do you have a website?
Oh, yeah. There's a Broadway Barks website.
Broadway Barks. And you can find out more information about what goes on July 11th. Also, Bernadette Peters, of course, will be performing with the Boston Pops on Sunday at 2:30 in the Shed here at Tanglewood, conducted by Keith Lockhart. You can find out more by going to tanglewood.org. And you can also hear the concert on Sunday afternoon live right here on WAMC. Bernadette Peters, a delight to speak with you. Thank you so much for being with us. A great pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Again, you can find out more information about Bernadette Peters at Tanglewood by going to tanglewood.org. The performance is Sunday at 2:30 in the Shed here at Tanglewood. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.